Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Round one of the basketball playoffs is here, and regardless of whether or not you're taking Boston, Miami, Milwaukee, or Minnesota to win the championship, BetOnline has you covered with all the odds, props, promos, and parlays you need for the entire two-month basketball playoffs. Use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, with your first deposit, with the link in the description to this episode, and you can pick up a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, however and whenever you may be listening, thank you for stopping into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast, live on the Bleav Podcast Network, except it isn't live because it is, as always, a podcast. And podcasts aren't live. It's the whole purpose of podcasts. You can listen however and whenever it is that you may be choosing, and we appreciate that you have decided to stop in however and whenever it is you may be listening. Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to the podcast. It is a fantabulous Thursday, May 2nd, according to my count. It may not be that according to your count, but we appreciate you stopping in however and whenever it is that you may be listening. We record this podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. However, we also dropped the ball yesterday in recording a Take It Easy podcast. So we only have two episodes at our discretion this week. And we are sorry for the delay, but let me just explain why we did not have a Take It Easy podcast on Wednesday. I had a personal event to attend on Tuesday evening. And on Tuesday evening, we were gone from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast time. And so I made a bit of a risk. And the risk that I made was recording a 35-minute podcast detailing how the Philadelphia 76ers, even in defeat against the New York Knicks, could hold their heads high for the season that he had. And more specifically, Joel Embiid, who at the time of recording this podcast was dealing with a torn meniscus in his knee, Bell's palsy that was affecting the right side of his face, making his face droop, his eye droop. It's a stress-induced condition. And Joel Embiid missed shoot-around for Game 5 in New York with a migraine headache. So this man, Joel Embiid, was going to limp himself out there with a torn meniscus, Bell's palsy, and a migraine headache to play Game 5 of a series down 3-1 against a New York Knicks team that is probably going to end up going to the Eastern Conference Finals, probably won't advance beyond Boston, but will probably advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, and so you could argue is one of the top four teams in the NBA, maybe not a tried and true title contender like Denver and Boston, and I would argue Oklahoma City, but still a top 4-6 team in the NBA. And so we did this whole podcast that was eulogizing the Philadelphia 76ers and commending Joel Embiid for powering through the torn meniscus and the Bell's palsy and the migraine headache, so that even in defeat, Joel Embiid could hold his head high for trying to power through that. He has earned the respect that he already had from me, but I feel like other people should also offer the same respect. And then Tyrese Maxey had to go out there and just prove me completely wrong. Because if you listen to last Wednesday's episode that we did about the curious case of the last 6 years of the Philadelphia 76ers, the Philadelphia 76ers with Tyrese Maxey as a number two is the worst iteration of the Philadelphia 76ers healthy that they have ever put around Joel Embiid in his winning window. So since 2019, when the championship window first began to open for the 76ers, this is the worst version of the 76ers they have assembled around even a healthy Joel Embiid that would have been an MVP this year. Said it before, say it again. Tyrese Maxey is better off as a number three. When he was a number three last year, with James Harden as the number two, the Sixers were one quarter away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals, an Eastern Conference Finals that they had a puncher's chance of winning against the Miami Heat. I think they ultimately would have lost, but they had a puncher's chance of beating the Miami Heat in last year's Eastern Conference Finals. And Tyrese Maxey won Most Improved Player, and I understand that's the case, but let's not make such a dramatic leap to say that Tyrese Maxey goes from Most Improved Player in the league to being one of the top 10 players in the league. No, the reason Tyrese Maxey won Most Improved Player in the NBA is because on a great team, Tyrese Maxey went from being a number three to a number two, and then when Joel Embiid missed 45 regular season games, he went from being a number two to a number one on a team that happened to make the play-in. Here's the caliber of player Tyrese Maxey is. If he's your number three, you can win a championship. If he's your number two, you're probably going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. If he's your number one, you're probably a play-in team. And the Philadelphia 76ers, with Tyrese Maxey as their number two, were about to get beat by the New York Knicks, and then Tyrese Maxey went out and hit up a three-pointer from the New York logo to force overtime, where he ultimately carried the 76ers with 46 points to a victory over the New York Knicks, the exact same way that 2023 James Harden bailed out the 76ers in multiple playoff games against the Boston Celtics in the second round. And so Tyrese Maxey absolutely made me eat my words so badly that we had to go back and unpublish the podcast that we had already recorded about the Philadelphia 76ers because Tyrese Maxey went out here and proved me definitively wrong for one night. It was just really bad timing to do the conversation about Tyrese Maxey should be a number three. And Tyrese Maxey still should be a number three, because ultimately I still think the Philadelphia 76ers are going to lose this series. Maybe it'll be six, maybe it'll be seven. We'll find out when we come back on Monday. But ultimately I think the end result is still the Philadelphia 76ers losing this series. And if the end result is the Philadelphia 76ers losing this series, they're going to be right in the middle of this Paul George sweepstakes that might be coming available this summer. They're going to be right in the middle of trying to find a true number two to pair alongside Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid and hopefully compete for championships in the same way they had a chance to in 2023. Ultimately, their hands were tied by James Harden leaving, and they didn't get equivalent value in exchange for James Harden. And now the 76ers can look up and try and put a number two around Joel Embiid better than Tyrese Maxey. Or they could double down on Maxey's development because he is only 22, soon to be 23 years old. Hope that there's more room to improve for Maxey and that his Most Improved Player award was not a byproduct of just he went from being a number three on a good team to being a number one on a good team, and he was the only player in the entire league that got such a dramatic leap in opportunity because nobody else who was competitive made a trade like what the 76ers and Clippers did. Like, yes, Tyrese Maxey won Most Improved Player, but I'd argue that Tyrese Maxey was expected to be a most improved type of player because he was the only person on any of these 30 NBA teams that was given the opportunity to go from being a true number three to a true number one by virtue of the James Harden trade and then the Joel Embiid injury. But Tyrese Maxey, maybe they double down on his development and say, we believe Tyrese Maxey can ultimately reach the level of being a number two on a championship team. And if they do that, the goal should be to find a number three better than Tobias Harris. And who knows, maybe Paul George comes into that situation and they treat him as a number three. Or maybe they go out and get Malik Monk from the Sacramento Kings. Or maybe they double down and see if they can turn Buddy Hield into a number three, although that option didn't really seem to work. But maybe if you move on from Tobias Harris, it opens up more space for Buddy Hield to do Buddy Hield type of things. I don't know exactly what direction they take with that, but I can confer that Tyrese Maxey, who legitimately won that game five for the 76ers, legitimately won that game five for Philadelphia based on his heroic play and a 46-point game. Like, they lose that game if not for Tyrese Maxey. And I know the last two-minute report says Tyrese Maxey traveled on the four-point play that also set them up for the win. But look, legitimately carried by Tyrese Maxey to a victory in game five. That's what a number two can do, is like occasionally win you those games. Last year with the 76ers, that's exactly what James Harden did. James Harden won them game one in Boston and game four in Philadelphia to put them up 3-2 in that series. And if not for the scramble drill 5-point loss, or losing a 5-point lead in 30 seconds in game two, the exact same situation would have just happened here in game five. Tyrese Maxey would have carried the 76ers to a 3-2 lead, filling the number two role occupied by James Harden. While I personally don't believe Tyrese Maxey will be the number two on a team that wins a championship, even a team that has an MVP player like Joel Embiid, I still understand the 76ers building that thing around Tyrese Maxey this year when the best option on the table was bring Harden back by deceiving him into opting into his contract. Like, it was the best option they had on the table. And ultimately, I don't think it'll be good enough to win the championship, but that's besides the point. Like, if they come back from down 3-1 to beat this New York Knicks team, and then they get the Pacers in round two, they might go to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in the Joel Embiid era. And it would be so funny if the 76ers ultimately do come back from down 3-1 to win this series because of the heroics of Tyrese Maxey, and despite the fact that this is the worst of the six, this is the fifth worst team. Wait. Of the six teams since 2019 the Sixers have had, this is the fifth of the six teams. Like, only the 2020 team was worse than this variation of the 76ers. If this version of the 76ers, with Joel Embiid going through torn meniscus, migraine headaches, and Bell's palsy that is stress-induced in his face, and Tyrese Maxey is his number two, a guy who, again, should be a number three on a team that competes for a championship and can be the number three on this Sixer team if they bring in Paul George. If that team makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals and gets smoked out the building by the Boston Celtics, it'll still be the deepest playoff run this Sixers team has made, which doubles down on the podcast we did last week that talks about just how batshit ridiculous this run of the last 4 to 6 years has been for the Philadelphia 76ers. Just absolutely inane. So yeah, the whole podcast that we had in mind for Wednesday got blown up because Tyrese Maxey, I took a risk in assuming that the New York Knicks would win that game, and took a risk that even in defeat, it wouldn't be Tyrese Maxey balling out for the 76ers. And I was ultimately proven to be incorrect on all accounts, so much so that we just had to scrap the entire podcast we had planned. Just took a risk, struck out, because with our analysis, we struck out for this one day. Like, the worst possible scenario for the podcast we were going to publish on Wednesday came true, and that is not only the 76ers win, but the 76ers win because of Tyrese Maxey's most heroic performance of his young NBA career. So just a total firestorm that blew up a podcast that we had in mind for Wednesday and didn't feel like going back to re-recording at 10:45 p.m. on a Tuesday night. Navigating the rest of the NBA playoffs that we didn't already talk about on Monday. The Boston Celtics are going to rout the Miami Heat in Game 5 to close out that series. Just as simple as Jimmy Butler got hurt. Would have loved to have watched that series with a healthy Jimmy Butler. Would have loved to watch that series with a fully healthy Jaime Jaquez, too. But Boston got Miami up out the paint. They're going to advance to play, like, probably Cleveland. And look, we talked about Cleveland the other day. Like, the Cavaliers are uniquely positioned to where Donovan Mitchell, who has now spent 5 years in Utah, all of them with Rudy Gobert, and now immediately spending the next 2 years of his career in Cleveland for teams that, ultimately, he's the number one, but teams that have not been well equipped for playoff basketball. I'm not quite sure what the explanation was for it this year, but last year was just the case of, like, the New York Knicks dragged that series into the mud. It was truly awful basketball to watch, and I think in their closeout game, the Cavaliers had like 80 points. And I think up until Game 5 against Orlando, the Cavs had not scored over 100 points in any playoff game in that series so far. So Cleveland, this high-octane offense from a year ago, came back and said, you know what, we're just going to slow these games down, drag it into the mud. And I believe in their now 10 playoff games with Donovan Mitchell, they've scored 100 points twice. So Cleveland, it looks like, is going to get out of that series against Orlando. But ultimately, whoever wins that series is going to get swept by the Boston Celtics. And the reason they're going to get swept by the Boston Celtics, even a Boston Celtic team without Kristaps Porzingis, I want to reiterate that, even a Celtics team without Kristaps Porzingis, the reason that's the case is this. Depending on how you feel about Paolo Banchero, you can make the argument that in a Boston versus Orlando series, the three best players in the series play for the Boston Celtics. Again, that just depends how you feel about Paolo Banchero. If you want to argue Paolo Banchero is better than Jaylen Brown, I'll at least hear the conversation. If you want to argue Paolo Banchero is better than Jrue Holiday, probably have a point. Paolo Banchero made the All-Star team this year. I'm also saying, in a Boston versus Orlando series, Boston might have the three best players in the entire series. Now, in the series against Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell is the second best player in that series. But if I go down the line from Boston to Cleveland, I think if you were drafting the top six or seven players, let's say you're drafting the top seven players in that series, I think you're going to take five Boston Celtics before you take three Cleveland Cavaliers. And this is acknowledging Porzingis would be healthy under this scenario. But, like, if I asked you whether you would want on your basketball team Al Horford or Jarrett Allen, you're probably going to have to stop and think about it for a second. Ultimately, I think you might choose Jarrett Allen, but you're going to have to stop and think about it for a second. And even under these circumstances, okay, you don't necessarily have to have the superstar to win a playoff series. Very often you do, but that's not always a guarantee. What does Cleveland or Orlando do specifically very, very well that will allow them to counter a Boston Celtic team that has lost 5 home games all season, and you're going to have to win at least one of those in order to win that series, and more likely 2? I can't think of anything Cleveland or Orlando does special, so Boston is going to win that series without Kristaps Porzingis. If Kristaps Porzingis gets healthy for the Eastern Conference Finals against most likely the New York Knicks, Boston's going to be just fine. Going to be just fine. They will win in 4 or 5 games without Kristaps Porzingis against Cleveland and Orlando. That's the beneficiary of the luck of the draw. The luck of the draw for Boston nets it so that, thanks to Jimmy Butler injuries and thanks to Orlando and Cleveland being the 4-5, you, Boston Celtics, get to coast to the Eastern Conference Finals, where you will face the New York Knicks, and I believe we'll beat the New York Knicks in 5 games. Although, I've already been wrong about the Philadelphia 76ers once in the last 24 hours, so let's try and not do that again. Western Conference playoffs. Not going to talk about Clippers and Mavericks, because that series is tied 2-2. Game 5 is starting in about 2 hours, according to my time, West Coast time. And we just got to let that one play as it lies. We'll come back and break down games 5, 6, and 7 on Monday. I promise you. Monday, we're going to have Mavericks Clippers analysis. We have not talked much about this series. Timeline has not aligned with the series. The Clippers lost both games lost both games with Kawhi Leonard and won both games without Kawhi Leonard. And they looked like a super crazy offensive machine in game 4 in the first half. Like, Norman Powell, they are the deepest team, I think, in the Western Conference. Between Norman Powell and Terrence Mann, they have a legitimate 7-man rotation when healthy that stacks up against anyone in the league. I saw Norman Powell put up 40 points in a playoff game last year. That dude is a great, great perimeter shooter, and they got him for basically nothing from the Portland Trail Blazers. I just want to reiterate that point. Also, he's homies with Kawhi. That is a helpful bonus point for the Clippers. But the Mavericks are also turning PJ Washington into a legitimate number 3, and I just did not foresee that happening. And I'm still going to put this into the universe. The Thunder are going to beat whoever wins this series. Just want to put that out in the universe. This series is probably going to go 7, so we'll have a hell of a reaction to a Game 7 on Monday. But whoever wins that series, Thunder are going to get them. I still very much believe in OKC getting to the Western Conference Finals, and now it's time to put up or shut up, because we've been saying for 2 months OKC, despite their youth, is going to go to the Western Conference Finals. This team is just so unique that they're going to be able to get there, and now here we are, and the Thunder are about to go to the Western Conference Finals by beating either the Mavericks or the Clippers. Who's going to get there? Stay tuned to Monday to find out the answer to that question. Last thing I want to talk about before we go, T-Wolves, Nuggets, second round of the playoffs. The thing that I think is interesting from Minnesota's standpoint is that their coach has to have surgery on a ruptured meniscus because a player collided, I think it was Mike Conley, collided into him on the bench. That I just think is unique and wacky. He's probably going to have one of those He's going to have one of those like chairs or something, like the carts that you roll around when you have the injury. That might be something that happened here, which I think is funny. We also have Denver beating the Lakers in game 2 and game 5 on crushing Jamal Murray buzzer beaters. I was talking about this with our friend Juju Talk Sports right after that game happened, because I remember watching that live on Monday, and it was just so awesome. Back and forth basketball. Game 2 and Game 5 of that series was just absolutely delightful basketball. Just the, you could see the Lakers were clearly one of the four best teams in the Western Conference. You could see it. They just happened to get beat by Denver each of these last two seasons. And Anthony Davis injured his shoulder at the end of Game 5, and that made him a liability on offense at the back end of the game. But it didn't matter that he was a liability on offense at the end of the game, because Austin Reeves hit like three consecutive shots back and forth with Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray put a dunk on LeBron where he threw the like shoulder shimmy thing that I'm doing, but it's a podcast, so you can't see me doing the shoulder shimmy. Like, it was just impeccable back and forth basketball, ironically between Austin Reeves and Jamal Murray. But Jamal Murray has now had three playoff runs of ridiculously clutch basketball. And I'd even go back to say four playoff runs of ridiculously clutch basketball, because when the Nuggets had their first playoff run together in 2019, they had never made the playoffs. It was Murray's first playoff series. They were playing the San Antonio Spurs, and in a game seven, Jamal Murray had like 10 points in the fourth quarter, including a dagger three-pointer with a minute to play, to beat the Spurs, who, if you'll remember at the time, still had, even though Kawhi was gone at this point, they still had LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, Derek White, DeJounte Murray, Patty Mills was still on the team at that point. Like, they were a seven seed, but they were still a halfway decent team with multiple Hall of Famers and three players on the team who would ultimately make NBA All-Star teams, either in the 2 years prior or the 2 years after that run. Like, they had three legitimate All-Star players on that team, and Jamal Murray had a super clutch series in 2019 in the first round of the playoffs. But ultimately what I'm talking about is 2020 in the bubble, 2023 last year, and 2024 this year. Jamal Murray has had now three playoff runs of ridiculously clutch basketball. He had 50-point games against the Utah Jazz in the first round of that playoff series. Against the Clippers in the second round, he had a double-digit fourth quarter in, I believe it was Game 6, to lead the Nuggets over the Clippers. And then in Game 7, the Clippers kind of fell apart, and the Nuggets ended up winning that series by a 3-1 comeback. And in the Western Conference Finals, I don't believe Jamal Murray had any clutch moments. But he had clutch series against Utah in the first round of the bubble, clutch Game 6 against the Clippers in 2020 in the bubble. Then you go to last year, and Jamal Murray just had clutch shot after clutch shot after clutch shot. I believe at the end of that series, he had the third most clutch time shots, or sorry, the third most clutch time points, which is the final 5 minutes of fourth quarter and overtime. I believe I remember it saying that he had the third most clutch time points in any postseason run in NBA history. Again, don't quote me on that. I believe that was a stat from last year, but I'm just trying to pull it out. Or his third most points scored in some sort of metric of fourth quarter or crunch time points. I don't remember the exact stat, but he had a plethora of clutch moments, including closeout games against the Lakers, closeout games against the Heat on their way to winning the championship. Again, first round series against the Timberwolves, second round series against the Suns. Most of their wins were blowouts, and most of their losses were heroics of Devin Booker, and one weird game where I think Jokic missed a free throw at the end and the Timberwolves got one game against the Nuggets. Jamal Murray has had three playoff runs of some of the most clutch basketball in NBA history. And yet, at the same time, Jamal Murray is also a zero-time All-Star. And if you're going through every regular season of his career, you're kind of hard-pressed to find a season where he deserved to be an All-Star. Like, not only, maybe if he were in the Eastern Conference, he would have one All-Star because of just the depth of guard play in the Western Conference recently. But you go back through Jamal Murray's career, and there's not a season you can point to where it's like, yes, he was definitively robbed of an NBA All-Star team. 2020, he wasn't quite that guy yet. And by the way, they had only played like one playoff run together at that point. 2021 is the year that you could point to and say, instead of DeJounte Murray, maybe Jamal Murray deserves to make the All-Star team. Or instead of X player, maybe Jamal Murray deserved to make the All-Star team. But if you'll remember, right after the All-Star break was when he tore his ACL in 21, and in 22, missed the entire season. Last year, 2023, the Nuggets only put one player in the All-Star game. However, if you were based on the first half of the season, I remember so definitively, we did a podcast talking about why the Nuggets were going to run through the Western Conference. If you looked at win shares at the All-Star break last year, Jokic was number one. Aaron Gordon was number 25. Jamal Murray was down in the 40s. In the regular season last year, Aaron Gordon was the number two on the Denver Nuggets. So if the Nuggets were going to put any second player in the All-Star game last year, it should have been Aaron Gordon. They ultimately only got one, but if they were going to get two, it should have been Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic. And then this year, I mean, De'Aaron Fox didn't even make the All-Star team in the Western Conference, so, you know, no harm, no foul between Fox and Jamal Murray not making the All-Star team. But Jamal Murray's just had such a weird career because he's one of the most clutch postseason players of the last 10 years, with consistent moment after moment of clutch playoff performance, in the same way that Chris Middleton used to be the go-to scoring threat at the end of games with Giannis back in the first years of the Bucks run. Jamal Murray consistently has clutch moments time after time after time in the playoffs, because when the game is on the line, that's the person that they agree they want the ball in the hands of, and they'll have Jokic set screen and rolls and let Murray maybe throw the ball to Jokic, but ultimately on the last plays of the game, they want Jamal Murray in isolation, and more often than the average player, Jamal Murray is hitting these shots. He's had three playoff runs of ridiculously clutch basketball, and yet has never made an NBA All-Star team and doesn't deserve to make an NBA All-Star team, despite the fact that he is the number two on a team that won a championship last year and is the number two on a team that is favored to win a championship this year. And I think that's just so strange and so interesting, because I can't think of another example quite like it. A player who is so much of a presence in the postseason and is also not an all-star caliber NBA player. I'm hard-pressed to find any example quite like it in my time watching NBA basketball. And we were talking about this in our group chat, and I'm just like, it's just a very strange career, right? It's not to denigrate anything that Jamal Murray has done by the fact that he's not an NBA all-star and doesn't deserve to be an NBA all-star. But it's still just such a really strange career that has gone on at this point. And I am really, really interested to continue watching Jamal Murray. Obviously, injuries play a role in the fact that he's never made an All-Star team, but I'm just so interested to watch his career progress, because there is no real comparison point that I can think of to a player like Jamal Murray. It is truly an unprecedented run, and if the Nuggets continue to win Western Conference Championship after Western Conference Championship, like I anticipate they will, maybe he eventually gets the All-Star recognition, but this is not a Hall of Famer by any stretch of the imagination. This is a clutch playoff player with the ball in his hands at the end of games, who also is not one of the top 25 players in the NBA. And that's just such an interesting dichotomy to think about. And it plays back to some of the things that Jokic talked about the other day, where it's like it took 3 years of playing together with this core of Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon and KCP and Jamal Murray. It took two to three years of playing with each other to kind of figure out each other's tendencies. And I think that consistency is part of why you're seeing Jamal Murray be so valuable to them at the end, because Jamal Murray might not be one of the 25 or even 30 best players in the NBA, but he's played so consistently with Jokic, who is the best player in the NBA, that he holds more value to that team than he would to anyone else across the league. And it's just such an it's such a strange career, one that I can't find much of a precedent for, but I'm still very excited to watch continue as we go along here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping on in here to the Take It Easy podcast. We got episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, except when Tyrese Maxey proves us so wrong that we have to cut podcast episodes altogether. 5-star reviews, downloads, all greatly appreciated. We will be back with either a Wired Up this weekend with some NBA playoff basketball, or on Monday to recap all the Game 6s and Game 7s that took place over the weekend. We will talk to you then. And in the meantime, take it easy.